Welcome to Faith and Victory Church, an active, non-denominational Christian church in Auburn, Washington. A warm, casual environment where everyone is welcomed, with a great kids ministry, live worship music, and pastors Matt and Crystal Krichunas. Faith and Victory Church is all about the Bible and worshiping Jesus. You're invited to visit one of our services in person, Sundays at 9 and 11. But for now, thanks for joining us here for this Spirit-filled message.
That we can come together and worship you. Holy Spirit, I pray that you convict and correct us. That we take with what we hear with us out into the world and act upon it. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys can sit down. So I just want to let you guys know what we're doing here. This is Youth Takeover. So the youth worship team plays. I usually preach. Well, I try to anyway. But normally when we do it, we just do it how the adults do their service. But tonight we're not doing that. We're just going to do it how we do over in the youth group. So you guys see exactly what we do. So we worship, and then I preach while Shelby plays and tries not to mess up. And if she does, I'll call her out. And then I preach, and then at the end we do worship and prayer again. And the reason why is because worship is a huge part of our spiritual walk. And I think a lot of people lose sight of that. They lose sight that worship is spiritual. You know, it just becomes routine. Ironically, it's called worship without the band, and we did worship with the band. But hopefully, when you walk away from this message, it'll give you some new insight on what worship is. Now, there's some parts in this message that are going to be, really serious, like personal parts of my life that a lot of you guys probably don't know, because I like to preach off my own experience. So there's going to be laughs, maybe cries, and probably standing ovations. Well, my job is done. Can we go? No. Sorry, I just like to have fun, you guys. Is that okay? Can we have fun tonight, too? In 1 Chronicles 16, 23 through 31, it says, "Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim his salvation day after day, declaring his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and joy are in his dwelling place. Ascribe to the Lord, all you families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns." So before we get too far into this, like I said, the whole message is about worship. I'm probably going to offend some people. I'm tweeting what I'm saying right now, if you're wondering what I'm doing, because I'm super big on Twitter. So I can't. Checking in on Facebook. No, but I'm probably going to offend some people. And honestly, I just don't care. And people that know me know that I don't care, because I preach what the word says, and I'm going to preach until the day Jesus comes back. So, just to warn you, we might do some spiritual throat punching tonight. Tweet that. So first, I want to tell you guys what the Hebrew word is for worship. Now, so you guys know, I don't speak Hebrew. So I'm going to try to pronounce this the best of my ability. If you do speak Hebrew and I say it wrong, don't come up to me at the end of the service and be like, you know, this is how you really say it. Because honestly, I don't care. So I'll just read what it says. So I think it's Shacha. I'll spell it for you. S-H-A-C-H-A-H. So if you're taking notes, you can write it down. Sounds good. It says this term literally means to depress or prostrate oneself, and is translated in the King James Version of the Old Testament as worship 100 times, bow down as 54 times, do obeisance 9 times, do reverence 5 times, fall down in Psalms 72:11, and in Isaiah 45:14, to crouch in 1 Samuel 2:36, humbly beseech in 2 Samuel 16:4, or make stoop in Proverbs 12:25. See, worship isn't just singing. Like, a lot of people like to think that when we come into worship, that it's just singing, and it's not. That's the farthest thing from the truth. Worship is all-encompassing. It actually demands something from us, right? So for me, and if you notice with the worship, the youth group and the worship team, I teach about worship all the time. Because during worship is when breakthrough happens. Like, if you really want to push through, that's when breakthrough is going to happen. I used to always ask people when I saw them just kind of standing there and, you know, hands in pockets singing or moving their lips. I don't even know if they're singing. And all the time, I would see people worshiping like that. I told you I might offend people. When I see people worshiping like that, I used to ask them. And they would tell me things like, God knows my heart. Which is true, God knows your heart. But I know the word pretty well, and I know what the word tells us to do. So if you're not obeying what the word says to do during worship, then that's between you and God. And he does know your heart. But it's demanding. Like, it's an action. We take an action when we worship. There's plenty of times in my life that if it wasn't for worship, there's like literally no way that I would have gotten through. Like, I mean, to the point of probably suicide, not got through. And like I said, it's going to get a little bit personal. And so I'd already asked my wife if I could share this story. So when I was about a year and a half after I gave my life to the Lord, for those of you who don't know me, I had a horrible life. I lived a horrible life before I came to know Jesus. That's another reason why I worship so hard, because I know what Jesus has saved me from. And it's not good. It's not good. So about a year and a half after I'd given my life to the Lord, I started my journey on becoming a youth pastor. And during that time, I was at a youth camp because I was serving in a youth ministry, fairly large youth ministry. It probably had about 3 to 350 kids. So as big as our adult service, maybe a little bit smaller than our adult service. So here I am at this camp for a week with all these kids, right? I come back from this youth camp and my ex-wife was acting all weird. And literally, like, from one day to the next, it was like we were fine one day, and then the next day, everything was broken. Like, I hadn't been doing anything right. Everything was falling apart. And what I ended up finding out is she was cheating on me with, at the time, my best friend. Me and this guy lived together for years. I mean, we knew each other for, like, 15 years. And so she ended up leaving me for him. And then at the church that I was serving in, everybody pushed me away. Literally, I'm not even playing. All the friends that I had, other than my buddy Jason, shout out to Jason. Jason Cordovo, where'd he go? He went to the bathroom when I called him out? Anyway, I only had a couple friends that stuck by my side. Like, I had to drop all my friends when I became a Christian, or I was just going to go right back to the lifestyle that I was living before. And so I was in an internship, and I had all these friends that I had made while I was a Christian. And then all of a sudden, now nobody wanted to have anything to do with me. So it was just like my whole life was falling apart. The only thing I could do was worship. I had a job where I worked nights. I worked for a street sweeping company, so I'd be out there with a blower blowing out parking lots, and I would be weeping in tears, blowing out the parking lot, just crying out to God in worship. And the reason why worship got me through it wasn't because like that I don't think prayer can't, because prayer can, but sometimes when you're so emotionally disturbed and upset, you can't even find the words to pray. And when you start worshiping, you start taking your mind off of the problems of the world. You start focusing them directly where they belong, on God. And so that's what I did. Like, I had to do that to break through. Either that or I probably would have killed somebody. It wasn't a joke. Can I say that? It's too late. I already did. I'll ask for forgiveness later. But oftentimes, like, worship is the only thing that'll distract me from the problems that go on in life. I can pray and pray and pray and pray. And sometimes, honestly, since we're being honest, I know God always hears my prayers, but do you ever feel like sometimes God just doesn't hear them? Like, maybe not you guys, but I feel that way sometimes. And so I know that if I stop focusing on the troubles that I have here, then God's going to get me through it. Like, I just have to put my focus in the right place. Quit worrying about my problems, quit worrying about everything else, and just focus on them. When we do our youth retreats, people that have gone to our youth retreats know this very well. We close out every year our youth retreat with worship. You know how many hours we worship? 4 to 6 hours nonstop of worship. Because that's where breakthrough happens. We have seen lives changed through our worship. Like, now here, I'm a manly man for you guys that don't know. Except for Brian. I'm not as manly as he am. As he am. As he is. I'm not as manly as him. But I rarely cry. But if you want to see me cry like a little baby, dude, just get me in a good worship session and I will sob and you will see snot and tears and you will maybe laugh at me. It's fun. It's fine. But that's what happens. Ask the youth. It's the only time my son probably has ever seen me cry. Multiple times though. Now for me to stay in the atmosphere and the focus of worship, I literally have to listen to worship music all the time. And I do. When I'm in my car, when I'm at home, I'll worship all the time. Because what it does is it doesn't force me to worship, but it brings it out of me. It makes me want to worship when I listen to worship music frequently. And so that's what I surround myself with. People don't realize that music has a huge impact on people's lives. Like, what you hear, even if you don't think about it, can exit out of you or change your thought process on things. And I know this because the other day, I haven't actually listened to like regular music in years. Literally years. And we ended up going to Vancouver for Vancouver, Washington, not Canada. We ended up going to Vancouver for 4th of July. My brother-in-law called us really late at night, so we didn't. And he was like, "You want to come down?" So we just went down. We ended up leaving till like 10:30 at night. All my kids fell asleep in the car. And I was going through my wife's phone, and not through her iTunes, people. I was going through her iTunes. My iTunes account that's on her phone. And so there were songs on there that I haven't listened to since back in the day. It was like a soundtrack of bad. Like, you know, like before, and maybe not most of you can relate to this, but I had to have like different songs that I'd play for different moods, for things that I would do. Like, if I was going to go do dirt, and I won't tell you what dirt is, but if I was going to go do dirt, there are certain songs I'd listen to. So my kids were asleep, and I was like, "You want to listen to some of these songs that we used to listen to?" So I started playing them over and over, like different songs. And about 15 minutes into listening to them, I started feeling horrible about myself. I mean, full on. Like, I started having memories of how bad of a person and how messed up I treated people and wrecked their lives, people that I cared about. And I just started feeling horrible about myself. And Satan came in and started, like, putting the thoughts in my mind, like, you are horrible. And I was agreeing. I was like, I'm pretty horrible. And so after about 5 minutes of just feeling, like, bad and discouraged, I looked over and I said to my wife, I was like, this music is making me feel really bad about myself. And right as I said that, we passed this huge billboard that says, Jesus Christ came to save sinners. And I was like, but Jesus Christ came to save sinners. So it immediately turned it around and I started feeling better. But it was like perfect timing. But that's what it does to me. Like, that's why I have to continuously surround myself with worship, because I know now, especially, that if I start putting it back in my head, it starts giving me ideas of how I used to be, not who Christ made me to be. And like I said before, that's why I worship how I worship. I mean, I will be in my car sometimes just worshiping and being crazy and weird. And I don't know if any of you have ever had that experience. Have you guys ever been in your car, hands raised, screaming, crying out? You pull up to the light and the person next to you looks over and they're like... Now, if you haven't done that, if you haven't done it, maybe you're not doing worship right. But a lot of times, is the reason why people don't is because they care what other people think, right? Who in here cares what people think? I see people not raising their hands, but that's fine. When I first became a Christian, when it came to worship, I cared what people thought. I barely raised my hand at first because I was like, people are going to think I'm weird or crazy. The bottom line is, number one, who cares if people think you're crazy, right? And two, we already know you are crazy, so do it anyway. We already know it. You're not fooling anybody. You go to Faith and Victory Church. Come on. We're all crazy here. But the sad truth is people don't realize how important worship is. To a lot of people, it's just habit. I'm tweeting that right now. That's why. Isaiah 29:13 says, the Lord says, these people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is based merely on human rules they have been taught. Sad part is a lot of us are like that. I've noticed a lot in worship at this church. People will come in late to worship all the time, right? Because they think it's just habit. Like, this is just what we do, right? We just come into worship, right? It's just part of whatever everything else that's going on. So it's not that big of a deal. The message is the important part. That's what's important. But it's important. Worship actually, did you know, prepares your heart for the message? Like, it prepares your heart to receive what the Lord wants you to receive. That's why we worship, right, Marcus? Oftentimes, like I said, people will come in late, or they'll skip worship altogether, or they'll stand in the back and talk, or they'll stand outside in the parking lot and talk, or they won't come to a worship service at all. Hey, I'm guilty of every one of these. So if you want to come up to me later and be like, well, I've seen you, it's true, you have. Because I've lost sight of it before. And it's easy to. In fact, it was about a year ago where I started losing sight of what the Lord had done for me. And I stopped worshiping as much as I had before. For someone like me, I need to worship constantly. Or I'm just going to be bad. Like, I just know it. I am a horrible rotten sinner. Like, hardcore. Like, if you guys came to some of the youth services and heard what I preach, and heard some of my stories, or I wouldn't say stories, but my life, you'd be like, this guy's a youth pastor and he preaches to our kids? It's fine. I'm just preaching truth. I won't ever preach anything but truth to your kids. So. Thought I had a third page. I do. But about a year ago, I fell into that same trap. And I started not caring about worship as much. I would come in late, or I wouldn't come into a worship service at all. Like I said, I want to preach you guys off of my failures so you can learn something, maybe. And I wouldn't come in. And so what that started doing is slowly deteriorating my ministry. I started coming to church grumpy all the time because I was never worshiping. I started not caring about ministry as much because I was never worshiping. And I started just not caring. I mean, I wasn't worshiping anywhere. I wasn't doing it. I started getting bitter. I gave a foothold to the devil. And I just started giving up. And then one day, obviously me and Pastor Matt had a discussion about it. Not a great discussion. The bottom line, you guys, I was going to quit. Like, I wanted to quit. I did. I told my wife, I was like, I quit. You can keep doing this, but I'm done. You know what she said to me? So messed up. She was like, are you doing this? Are you doing this for men, or are you doing this for God? I was like, shut it. Anyway, I went straight back. She was right. And between that and talking with Pastor Matt, I went back and I just went and I sought God like I used to. I got on my knees. I worshiped. I prayed. I cried. I begged for forgiveness. Like, and I'm in a completely different place now. I mean, I don't know if you guys know this, but our youth ministry is exploding. Yeah. It's exploding. Write it down. I'm going to tweet that right now. But it's so easy for us to just get caught up in our own emotions that we just would rather just not worship, and we'd rather stand there miserable and grumpy. The best thing you can do if you come to church grumpy is come worship. Like, who cares? Who cares if the band is messing up? Who cares if, you know, the person next to you sings bad? Like, if you're standing next to me, it's going to sound bad. Sorry. Just worship through it. Like I said earlier, that's where breakthrough happens. And this is for men, this part. And the reason I say men is because sometimes men got a lot of pride. You know, they don't want to be humble. They maybe care a little bit more about what people think than women. Maybe not. Maybe that was that sexist? Whoops. Sorry. Hey, I came to offend. But for men, if you want your family to worship, then you need to be a worshiper. Oh, yeah. If you're just going to stand there and just move your mouth, but you expect your family to be a worshiper, that ain't going to happen. You have to lead your family because it's what we're called to do. So remember that next time you come to a worship service and you want to stand there like this. You can also remember what I said about God knowing your heart, because He does. It's a heart issue and a heart condition. If you want to be a worshiper, you have to practice that. Don't just move your mouth. Isn't God worthy of more than that? Is He not worthy of more than just our mouths moving? That's why I teach the youth to bow down on your knees, raise your hands, jump if you want to, dance. You can do a dance break if you want. I mean, we don't get too weird. I mean, we're not pulling out snakes or anything and getting bit. But we worship. Like, it's what I preach often. Because there's power in worship. What we're going to do now is we're just going to close it like we do every youth service. And if you're an adult in here, all the youth, you can come forward and worship. The reason why all the youth are up here worshiping is because that's what we do over there. They're not worshiping any different tonight than they do over there. Because that's what I want to build, are worshipers. God is seeking for people to be worshipers. He doesn't want lip service. He doesn't want you to move your mouth. He wants your heart and your body and your soul to be in it. It's all encompassing. So if you're an adult and you feel led, like you want to come up here and worship, you can do that. I won't hold it against you if you don't. Don't feel like you have to. It is between you and God. But remember, God is... Father, thank you for this opportunity that we could come together and worship you. Lord, I pray that you just continue to speak to our hearts. Continue to change our lives. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.